Friends in Christ, grace and peace to you on this special day of remembrance. Amen. So when my kid was growing up, he and I would, sometimes to his mother's chagrin, get into these conversations, these talking points about deep metaphysical kinds of things. And when we would start talking about things like this, it often left us more confused than we were when we started. I think it started when we were going somewhere in the car, and Jacob looked out the window at the world rushing by, and he commented that in the real world, there are no black lines. I thought for a minute, what is he talking about? There are no black lines. He was probably about 6 years old, and he loved to draw. And when he would create a picture, he'd always draw the outline of the thing, often a dinosaur. He'd draw it out with a black pencil or a crayon, and then he'd fill in the color. But this was the moment that he realized that there were actually no lines at all, just soft edges of color that blurred into other colors. So this led to a conversation about whether anything is actually connected or disconnected from anything else at all. And 10 years later, when he learned that there was an immense space between the atoms of everything that exists, the same conversation took on a whole new dimension about being connected or not connected, or even how something could sit on a table and not fall through. We can talk about it later. But the point is, the complexity of our world can get complicated real fast. Maybe even more so for those of us in these modern times when scientific understanding seems most of the time immeasurable. And it's also the case sometimes with our understanding of God. And if my son liked to dabble in the complexities of science, Paul and the other authors of the Bible like to do so with God. God can get really confusing, really fast. And you end up with passages like this one from Ephesians that Patsy read today. You'll notice now that we jumped in at verse 11. You can open your bulletins and look if you want, but we jump in at verse 11. But in the original languages, and I don't know enough about how this works, but it's true, in Greek, verse 3 that we didn't read today, verse 3 through 14, part of what we read today, it's all one long sentence in the original Greek. English teachers would mark it up with red markings because it would be a run-on sentence and inconceivable. But you can look it up in your Bibles at home. But in English, in the English translation, they've listened to the English teachers and they've broken it up into shorter sentences. But if you read it through, if you just read that passage, you can get a sense of the author's intention. It really is one run-on, long, building message. It's a drawing that has no black lines dividing up the colors. It's a deep, complex understanding that cannot be divided into pieces, but must be kept in its entirety. For if it loses a part, it's no longer the thing that it was. Be as it may, we jump in at verse 11, into the middle of a thought. Now, preceding this pause for a breath of air, the author is extolling the redeeming work of Christ, which extends from one person to the limits of the cosmos itself, the entire universe. He writes things like, God has made known to us the mystery of his will as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in heaven and on earth. And in verse 11, where we jump in today, the author declares that this universal, this all-consuming, to the farthest reaches of a creation, saving, loving work of God in Christ is for you and for me too. It says, in Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance. It's actually a word that's used in other places, this inheritance word. It's used in other places for being chosen by lot. Right? The roll of a dice. But rather than the randomness of rolling dice, the word carries the meaning of intention to get. Right? When somebody casts lots for something, they're hoping to get it. They're wanting to get it. They want to win the prize. It is the will of God to win us away from the power of death. It is the deep desire of God to do whatever it takes. When I was a kid, I wanted one of the prizes at the carnival games at the fair, right? Remember those? And you had to buy your chance to win the giant teddy bear with tickets. I only had enough money to buy a small number of tickets. But I would give the scary-looking man my last few tickets and try to toss the ball into the basket or get the beanbag into the clown's mouth or whatever it was. But I would never win. And I always ran out of tickets. But God doesn't run out of tickets. God plays the game over and over until we belong to Him. This inheritance of which Ephesians speaks is the prize that God has won. And I suppose you and I are the giant teddy bears that God carries home on His shoulders. At the end of the super long sentence that is verses 3 through 14, the author uses the word inheritance again, this time referencing a pledge of our inheritance. It says that we are marked by the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. You'll remember those words from our baptismal liturgy. When we make the sign of the cross on the newly baptized child of God, we say, "You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ." But it's like my deep metaphysical conversations with my son. You may never get to the place where you truly understand. And how are we to fully understand these things? It takes the Ephesians author, one long sentence that lasts 11 verses to try to explain these truths of God to us. It takes the Bible 66 books and hundreds of authors and the history of a people that stretches back 5,000 years, and still we don't know how all of this blends together. There aren't any black lines in the real world. The colors just fade and blend together. I'm sure I made tons of mistakes as a parent. I know of certainly 3, maybe 4. But there's one thing that I really am proud of as I look back on raising my son along with his mother. And that is that we taught him that most of the time, it's okay to linger with the uncertainty of a question. That truth is often found not in the answers, but rather by living in the questions. Recognizing that there aren't going to be black lines distinguishing the various parts of our lives, and often the colors have to blend. And so it is for us as we recognize this inheritance which we have been promised, and for those for whom the inheritance is fulfilled. In God, there are no black lines, and certainly no such thing that separates us from the promise in this world and the fulfillment of the world to come. In God, the colors of our lives in Christ blend and blur to create a drawing that radiates the beauty of an everlasting creation that God prepares for us throughout the universe and beyond. Black lines in drawings are for novices. And apparently using periods and short sentences for tasks other than describing the mystery of God is okay. And today, the colors of our lives and those of our beloved dead blend and blur together. And the complexity of it is probably beyond our understanding. But God lifts us onto his shoulders and carries us home, for the inheritance is ours. Ours, together with all the saints, to the praise of God's glory.